following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office here in Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, everybody, it's the first show of 2018. How about that? Off and rolling in the new format. Just a heads up. Today, this episode was supposed to be the one that started the whole new format, but we've been doing it for several weeks now, haven't we?
Well, how long you can keep this up, bro? It's kind of tough work, you know. It takes a lot of personality to host your own show, you know what I mean?
I actually heard that in this town once.
Takes a lot of personality to host your own show. It's, you know, personality takes everything, man. You know, if you don't have any personality.
Then they tell you that, and then and as you do it, they turn and go, you need to shut up, bro. Everybody wants to hear more Eagle records. Nope. It's all behind us now, my friends. This previous year, the previous... all of it. It's all behind us as we look forward to getting our feet wet into 2018 for all of us. And there's, I know, and I'm not going to get into this whole melancholy crap about, you know, oh, it's just going to be a new year and a new me. That's bullshit. It's not. It may be a new year, but it's the same old prickly me. Prickly being the operative word here. And that's the way it should be, don't you think? Don't, you know, it's you should grow as a human, of course. You make your own little changes and you progress in life and you make your adjustments as you go along. But you don't need to sit there on social media and go, well, this year I'm going to lose a lot of weight. I'm going to get into the best shape of my life and it's going to be the new me. Fuck you. It's not. It's the same shit because before the second week of January is closed, you're going to be out there ass up somewhere and a face full of pudding wondering where the hell your expectations of reality went. It's just that simple. You don't do that. Don't do that to yourselves. It's not like that at all. It's the way I look at it, it's another calendar page turned. We went from December into January, except for this time, instead of 2017, it's 2018. We went from the 31st to the 1st. We went from 11:59 p.m. to midnight. That's all it is. It's an illusion to think that there's anything else that's different or it's more elaborate. Now, yes, there's obviously some thought that you would like to have. I'd like for this year to be blah, 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 blah. I would like for this to happen. I would like for that to not to happen. You know, it would be that. That would be nice. Because we look at these years as chapters. You know, we look at them as touchstones, as benchmarks in our world. And but putting too much thought into the next year, putting too much pressure on yourselves, it ain't gonna get it cut. You know, hell, I'm just looking to, you know, wake up every day. You know, not trip over my gigantic penis, but when I get out of bed, I never tire of that joke. It is a joke, yes. Yes, that it is. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what holds for us for... We may not even... As a collective society, we may not even be here by March. You don't even know. Humankind may be extinct by Easter. Which would be kind of odd and ironic, but, you know, it could happen. So what I'm saying here is don't put yourself into too much stress and pressure over it. Go out, have fun. Go live your life. I tell you what I'd like to see, though. I'm tired of the I work harder than everybody. Nobody in the world works any harder than me. I work 89 hours a week. You know, it's that shit. You know, how about, hey, you know what? I took 3 weeks of vacation this year. Y'all can kiss my ass. How about that? Why don't we revel in that? How about, hey, man, you know, my wife is delivering a baby and I'm going to spend 6 weeks with her helping her get her act back together. How about that? That's something to be proud of. Instead of, I got to work for the man because the man demands what the man gets. You know, I grind whatever grist the mill requires. Well, whatever the case may be. And it's as though we're bragging about the wrong shit. You know, it's like when you go through social media and you see all the memes and the self-affirmation shit where, you know, somebody goes, nobody's more crazy than me, or welcome to the nut house, we're all crazy in here, and all this other stuff like that. Look, if you were genuinely crazy, you wouldn't talk like that. If you were genuinely crazy, you would say, I'm not crazy. That's why I don't. That's why I don't say it, because I'm not. I'm not crazy. I'm telling you this. Trust me. You must believe me. That's what I'd like to see us become more human. That would be kind of slick. And the more I read about the destructive power of social media, the more I tend to agree with those sentiments. It is. It's destructive. I've talked to more and more people who just don't. It's funny. They'll say, God, I hate Facebook. I fucking can't stand it. But I use it every day. And I'm one of those people. Because we've sort of been kind of roped into this thing. It's like this. We've made a deal with this devil we can't get rid of. Because if Facebook were to suddenly just vanish, I've said this before, there'd be a lot of panic. There'd be blood in the streets. There'd be people going, oh, my God. They'd be running around with photographs going, look at me, like my picture, like this. Do you like it? That wouldn't happen at all. Because everybody that posts like constantly, like diarrhea of the fingers on social media, are people that are scared of society. They're scared of talking to people face to face.
Oh, that's not true. I go out and I see my friends all the time.
Yeah, but you don't sit there and proselytize to them, do you? You don't sit there and talk about how good of a Christian you are when you don't understand what exactly that means, do you? It never happens. You got a bunch of, you know, keyboard cowboys out there who have no fear. That's what I'd like to see happen. People stepping away. I'm not saying that you should just quit social media. Step away from it. I did. I stepped away from it. I only use it now to promote this show, the company I work for over there at Radio Memphis. I might post an occasional joke or a picture I find sort of amusing. But beyond that, I don't share any part of my life up there. Fuck that. I have stepped away from this. Not that I ever really got that close to it in the first place, but I've stepped away from it so I could feel what it's like to be human. It sounds ridiculous, I know. And no, I don't like people anymore. But at least I can go out and interact with society, and it's easier because when you walk through, say, like a grocery store, you don't have to worry about what other people think about you. You know why? Because they're not looking at you. They don't care about you. They're looking into the palm of their hand. They're not even looking onto the shelves or the aisles. They don't even see where they're going. They'll bump into you all the time in the store because they're looking at their fucking phone the entire time. It's easy to walk through society now because look around you. You're basically free from idiots because the idiots are easily spotted. You can steer clear of them. Why? What is this man doing? He's checking his profile. He's found some funny shit he's taken a picture of, and he's made a selfie with the duck lip thing, and he's like, oh, look at me. Look, like what I'm doing. And the rest of us standing around here without our phones on us, or at least they're in our pockets at the very least, going, look at this asshole. Look at this guy. What the hell is this guy doing? You just shake your head and you move along. You know? A man could walk by with $1 million cash, right? You know, in a bag and just say, who wants this? And there'd be too many people that would miss out on that opportunity because everybody sticks their head down into their phone and forgets it. Whereas I like to go through and look around and notice the color of the sky. Notice the messages that are being put out there for all of us to consume. Sitting down with somebody that you like to sit down with and have a conversation that doesn't involve your fucking phone. Ah, Rick, you're getting kind of cussy on this one. It says explicit for a reason, goddammit. And I'm going to use it. Just when you think I could just pull it back and not be so cussy. But I am. I make no apologies. But seriously, get out, sample life. Go to places you've never been before. And only use your phone for this, to take a picture. But don't share it right then and there. Sit on it. Sit on it for a week. Sit on it for 10 days. Don't share that picture, goddammit. Don't do it. Sit down when you come home and look at that picture and go, wow, that was fun. Like we used to do. We'd take a picture. We weren't interested in sharing it with anybody. We just looked at this picture. And somebody might ask, hey, can I see it? And then you would show them. Now we just put out pictures all the time and go, look at this. And I see pictures a lot of times that I don't want to look at. Most of us are that way. We don't want to look at all that garbage. What the hell? What the hell's the matter with you people? Yeah, I'm not really being bitchy. I'm just, you know, just saying, hey, it makes a big difference in people's lives, in your own lives, when you can just step away from this for just a little bit. It's very freeing. Yeah, it does feel incredibly weird to walk out of the house without your phone, and I don't really recommend it because, you know, it's a lifeline. It really is.
How did you survive before phones, bro?
Morse code. But you don't have to use it to document every stinking thing that you do. And that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see us get away from that. I'd like to see us have some more of that mystery that exists in our world. I would like to see that. I don't know that that's going to happen. It's a pipe dream. Is it a resolution for anybody? Please. No. Like I said, I'm lucky just to wake up every day. I'm just happy for that. And such as it is, you know. And hopefully for this show, we got 51 more after this to get through for this year. And in that time, I'm hoping that we're going to meet some people. We're going to hear some good music. We're going to have some fun together. And, you know, maybe make some new friends along the way. Right? So with that. Coming up on this episode from Radioland, we sit down with a new friend, Liz Kenmark. Liz moved here from New York about a year ago. She is known as Bendy Beast. That is her moniker. That is her stage name. She's an entertainer. She is a performance artist. We're going to learn a lot about what she does. We'll find out where you can find out more about her and where you can go see her perform. She's a lot of fun. She's a great lady. Plus, music this time out from Low Life Leakers. We got a song that's coming up from them here too. So it's gonna be a fine time here on the old program. Thank you for being a part of it. We'll get it started with our conversation. Liz Kenmark is next, right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, Ancient Burial Mounds, Yellow Fever, Maritime Disasters, Victorian murders and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Here in the studio, Liz Kenmark is here. Hi, Liz.
Hey there, Rick.
Can you hear okay?
I can hear great, yeah. How am I doing?
Oh, you're doing fine.
All right.
They're not, those headphones aren't too loud for you, are they?
No, they're good.
See, it's funny, we leave them out, and very few people will actually just put them on.
Oh, yeah?
I know.
I figured I'd probably want to have them on. You put yours on, so that seems like a good thing to follow.
Well, I kind of have to, since I got all the stuff over here, you know, all the stuff that makes the noises, so I want to make sure that it sounds all right. You know, you could be fine without them.
Well, I feel official.
You feel official.
So I'm going to keep them on.
I understand this is your first time.
It's my first time on radio.
I feel so honored and privileged to be the one that breaks your cherry here
on
the radio.
Yeah, I know. I'm giving it away right here, right now.
Well, that's fine. No, you could be far worse, you know?
I'm glad.
There's a first time for everything. It's fine. I'm glad you came down despite it being so cold out there.
Yeah.
I was surprised I even came into work myself today, really, for a Friday.
I kind of think we all just want to shut down in this weather, but then it's worse because you're inside and you don't see light or people. So it's good to force ourselves out.
Down here in the basement, in the cave that we are, it could be sunny and 80 degrees and it would look just like this in here.
Yeah.
You know.
I understand, because my apartment / training studio is basically like a cement box.
Yeah.
Unless I force myself out, I have very little idea what level of sun is happening, what weather is happening.
Well, yeah, and you're in showbiz type. You know what that is. You spend a lot of time in dark studios and rooms and stages and venues and things like that. So, you know.
Exactly.
It's all the devotion to the craft that it is. Mm-hmm. You are also known as Bendy Beast.
Yes, sir. That's my stage name.
It's your stage name. Mm-hmm. Now, and you are, explain to everybody what it is that you do.
Yeah. So I do pole dancing. I love just throwing
congratulations,
that out there. And like, that's when you pause and you let everybody fill in the blanks
right,
for a second.
Right, yeah.
But I actually found this sort of newer phenomenon called pole fitness when I was living in New York.
Yeah.
And I was working a job that I hated, and I was looking for hobbies, and I thought it was something I would never do.
But be a pole dancer?
Pole dancer, yeah. I was like, not up my alley. But
is there a way to do this with my clothes on?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That kind of thing, yeah.
Like, I can't tell people in my office about this. I can't tell my family about this.
Liz, what are your hobbies these days? Well.
Right. You know, it's a lot.
I'm fishing these days.
Yeah. Just fishing.
Well, no, and seriously, the pole dancing thing, the fitness end of it has become a very, very big deal in a lot of the larger cities out
there. Exactly. It's actually an incredible workout. And that was what got me to stick with it, was because I saw results.
Look at the strippers. Look how much in shape they are.
Exactly. Yeah. They look great. And it gives you a really fun workout as part of it.
Yeah.
Now that I teach, I also understand that it's just so hard and actually really painful in the beginning because your skin is like against a metal pole.
Yeah.
So as a teacher, you have to make it extra fun because otherwise no one's coming back. So
what is it that you do to make this extra fun?
You get to play sexy music, you get people giggling, you'll do body waves with the pole, you'll do maybe a little bit of twerking. Everybody
it's as if
up.
You're in a shake joint.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Not too much, because especially if it's a beginner class, people are super nervous to be there. Like,
yeah, they don't know what they don't. This is going to lead down a path of depravity.
Exactly. Like, especially when I started, I wouldn't wear heels in class for years. I was not that
kind
of dancer.
So you do this in heels, too?
Now I do. I love heels, actually. Once I opened the floodgates, it was like over. I have all the heels.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
And are these like the old fashioned stripper heels? The you know, with the big 9-inch,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. Big platform.
With the goldfish in them and all that.
Basically. I actually, for the upcoming show, I got my first pair of light up shoes. They're really cool.
Neat.
Yeah, they're 7 inches and they have LEDs inside that flash different colors.
Where does one get this stuff? I mean, it's not like you go to Payless Shoes and say, hey, take me to the stripper aisle. I mean, where do you get shoes like that?
The same place you get everything, which is Amazon Prime.
Oh, well, okay. It's a dumb question, I guess. I didn't even think to go to Amazon to be looking for that kind of stuff, but I guess it makes sense.
Well, and then what's great is, so I got these shoes, and they promptly broke. Like, I put them on, I'm dancing for the first time, one of them starts blinking, then it doesn't come back on. I realize that the charger attachment is, like, wrong. It's soldered in.
They're not battery-operated, you gotta charge them up?
You gotta charge them up, right? So then,
oh, that's hilarious.
I'm on the phone with, like, someone in India from Amazon customer support trying to explain why my 7-inch LED light-up pleasers are broken and need a replacement.
Holy cow. You don't need to plug them in.
Yeah. So... that was exciting.
Well, yeah. So you take these students of yours, these ladies, I presume, and everybody, I guess, has a pole.
Yep.
And you would show them a few moves, and you do like an hour, and everybody gets into shape.
Yeah, basically, like it starts with a warm up, so you don't start with the pole yet.
Lots of stretching, I would think.
Some stretching, exactly, and strength. A lot of strength. Get them working on their push-ups. A lot of core strength.
Yeah.
Some Pilates-based stuff. Some yoga-based stuff. And then you get on the pole.
Well, you're not called Bendy Beast for nothing, so you must do a lot of stretching.
I do a lot of stretching. That's my specialty. A lot of big contortion stuff is my game.
Judging by some of the pictures I've seen on your Facebook page, Missy, you are quite elastic.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I actually did rhythmic gymnastics when I was young.
Yeah.
Which is like very Russian, very flexibility based sport in the Olympics with ribbons. Most people know it from that.
Yeah.
So it started with like Russian woman pushing me into shapes when I was a child.
Yeah.
And I just kept up with it through various forms of dance as an adult.
And then adding things like yoga to it and all that.
Yes.
Which makes sense. Yeah, it really does, because I guess it's all sort of tied together.
Yeah, and yoga does a much better job of working with the adult body. Like, gymnastics training is kind of for kids that are very elastic, and, you know, they can do things that we can't do.
Yeah, the thought of somebody like our age trying to go out and do that stuff now is, like, insane. No.
Yeah, and, like, the jumps happen very quickly when you're a child, and it's not as gentle, basically, as you need to be when someone's an adult and working with this stuff. So yoga deals with it in a more realistic way for adults.
Well, it's an ancient form of exercise.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
But it's a stretch at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got it. So now you were telling me before we got on here that you came here about a year ago, right? You've been living in Memphis for a year,
A little over a year.
And did you say you came from New York?
Yes.
Why on earth did you go from New York to here?
I know, right? That's like the first question everyone asks.
I mean, most of the people we know in Memphis aren't from here. So, you know, you get sucked into the orbit of this town and there you are.
But. Yeah. Well, so at the time I was competing in pole. So there's actually an international competition scene, much like gymnastics, figure skating, all that.
Sure, yeah.
And in New York, it was hard to get training space. And of course, rent is always rising.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
All that stress. So I wanted somewhere I could put down a permanent training space for myself. So I started looking for a space that could be live, work, an apartment, but that had high enough ceilings and you need a beam to rig into. You need a certain amount of space. So I had like these really specific requirements. And I was just looking for somewhere cheaper. And I started with like Miami and Philadelphia, and I was like, nope, this still is nowhere near what I can afford. Right. What is the best cost of living, basically? And Memphis came up from some Google search, and I started looking, and there's so many cool loft spaces here.
Oh, yeah. Like,
high ceilings way cool. all day.
Big time. Are you downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Down where all the old warehouses are?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Like, was it South Main area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neat. So you just basically picked it out in a map. Well, it's centrally located too. I mean, a lot of people in this business live here, and then they fly out because it's exactly. easy to catch a flight to LA or New York. I mean, it's you know, so you
or
can get,
drive like or drive, you know, it's not that long of a drive to get to a lot of cities where I know other studios like St. Louis, Houston, New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of places.
Yeah, we're all very close with that. Mm-hmm. Do you travel much?
Yeah, lately I've been more focused on being here and kind of building the show and the teaching, but. Earlier last year, I was just on the road for like a long time, which was also really fun.
Yeah, yeah. Just and you're doing various shows. Are you competing or
teaching? Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. It is cool.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And you're kind of spreading the seed of the pole dance thing all the way. There had been some talk, and I may have hallucinated this, that pole dancing was going to be considered as a sport into like one of the Olympics, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're working on it. There's actually a lot of really interesting discussion in the community because some people love that and some people hate it. Of course, right?
Of course, like, everybody's got to hate something.
Everyone has an opinion. I don't know why it can't all exist. That's my take on it. But yeah, there's people that are trying to make a code of points, much like gymnastics, where different tricks are worth different points, and you have certified judges that are actually, you know, trained in a very specific way of judging routines.
Sure.
And there's an international circuit, and there's kids training, which is
Where the hate comes
that's
in.
That's where the hate comes in.
Yeah. They don't have a problem putting their four-year-old in a beauty pageant, but by God, get her away from the pole.
Exactly. So a lot of controversy comes from that, which is, I just think, interesting how much people conjure up in their own minds,
right.
but then they're mad at the person on the pole, and it's like, but you're the one that just filled in all those dots.
Exactly. You drew your own conclusions.
Right.
You didn't need my help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would make sense because it's highly athletic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it, like you said, it's hard to kind of get into because of you're doing stuff that you normally wouldn't do.
Yes. Like lifting your own body weight, especially for women, is usually not something you're practicing.
Yeah, I'm lucky to get out of bed every day.
Yeah.
but it's also, and to be fair, it can be kind of hazardous.
Yes.
If you don't really know what you're doing, you can get hurt on the thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I've often wondered how they change the light bulbs in the top of strip joints, but now you know they climb all the way up to the top of the pole and they hang by their ankles up there. It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually a problem in my place. I have two light bulbs out that I still am ignoring, and I think I need to get one of those like extender poles.
The thing with the little gravity claw in it.
Yeah.
You know, just go up the pole.
Yeah, but it's still going to be like 5 feet over.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I might shimmy.
Well,
I don't
you're pretty
know.
Tall, though. You could do it. Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, you've probably got the core strength to be able to kind of like stand on the edge of the pole in some weird cantilevered way.
If this happens, I'll definitely videotape it.
Yes, you will, because it'll be viral. It'll be all over Reddit. Yes. It'll be big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Here in studio, Liz Kenmark has joined us. It's my first time meeting you. You seem very lovely, and you're very ambitious. I'll tell you that.
That's true. Thank you. I hear that a lot.
I mean that as a good compliment because, you know, it's funny around here. A lot of people are like, you know.
There's some apathy. I feel like it comes from burnout more than anything. Things have failed and they're like, I'm not doing it again. Like, no, come on, though. You got to go again.
Yeah. If it doesn't work right the first time, screw this. I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. Now, you were telling me you teach. You teach the yoga thing and some other stuff. Where can they find you?
Yes. You can find me, at bendybeast.com. Details there. But in person, you can find me at Downtown Yoga, South Main. I teach there three classes on Thursdays. And I also teach at a studio called Not Your Average Workout that is out in Raleigh, and it's a pole studio. And neat. I teach Monday nights. I teach yoga and pole out there.
So you got both of them going at the same time there. Yeah.
They're separate, yeah. But yeah. You can choose if you're afraid. You can just go to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do gentle stuff. It'll be great. You can sort of see what's going on.
Be gentle with me.
Yes.
Got any guys in the classes, in the pole classes?
Not yet. It's a goal.
Is it a thing?
It's for sure a thing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I never would have considered it, but...
Guys love pole. They tend to go into, like, warrior mode. So you're like a pole ninja or a pole warrior, and everyone's first thing that they want to do is a flag, which is where you're like horizontal.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I've had
it's
jams.
The Superman thing.
The
yeah.
Superman thing, yeah. Like I've had guys at my house. We do jams sometimes where I just invite people over, and they'll do it there. But in the group classes, we have yet to get that scene going.
What are they? Is it a macho thing? Is it a
yeah. First, that's like
really.
It's I used to work at a gym in New York called Crunch, uh-huh. And I would be setting up the poles before class, and the guy trainers would come in and be like, you know, the Superman thing. Can I just get up there and try this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he's like looking around, like, but no one can see me do it though. All right, I did it. All right, and then they run away. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I think that mentality is most guys.
They would probably feel better if it was like a stop sign.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you ought to do. See, put stop signs up there, or yeah. like traffic signs on the very top, and that way they kind of it kind of you know
makes it safe and
mans it up a little bit
in a man way.
Yeah, in a man way, yeah. You know. I've seen videos of the athletic guys out there, the gymnasts mostly, and they're able mm-hmm. to do that particular thing. But yeah, but as far as pole dancing. Guys are more on the more receptive end of it than they are on the distribution end of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But, I mean, women love a guy on a pole. If a guy comes to pole class, like, generally he's meeting a lot of single straight women. Like, I think it's something guys should do more.
Well, there you go, fellas.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is coming up. See, there you go. Maybe you should have a little mixer. See?
Ooh.
See, now we're getting
brainstorming here.
Yeah. Like you could do a little, you know, nut and bolt party thing at the... how many poles do you have in your studio?
I just have two in my place. But the studio I teach at has, like, 8... or 9, so.
Well, there you go.
Get it done.
Yeah, you can definitely get it done. I wanted to put one in here, but the staff overruled me on this.
Ah.
I mean, these are concrete ceilings. We'd be fine.
Well, this is perfect.
Yeah, this would be a perfect place down here in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right over there. You'd have enough space to do it.
Well, they make them where they're removable, too, right?
I actually have a removable pole sitting in my basement that I had in my old apartment.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll chat.
We could chat.
I think what would happen though is, and I've worked at another play at another radio station that actually had a pole in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and when nothing was going on in there, there'd be some of these girls that would just slip in there when no one was looking, just to get a feel for what that is, because there's a lot of mystique to it.
There is a lot of mystique, and that's part of the fun part. Is the taboo actually like? That's made the community really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's usually open-minded people that are willing to sort of step into that uncomfortable territory.
Oh, yeah.
Is who comes to class. So you get really interesting people.
And they're fully aware, of course, that they're not going to do anything that is unsavory. I mean, they're going to keep their clothes on, for God's sake.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not that kind of a class. And I think once you shed that mystique, and I think you're pretty close to it anyway, or at least accepting of it, you know, when, mm-hmm. when society becomes more accepting of it, I think you will find a lot more of what people like what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is once people get past those barriers of their own head or worrying what other people in their life will think, because I had to go through that myself. Once you sort of get past that, you're like, oh no, this is just great, this is just a thing I do.
Yeah, mom's gonna kill me if she finds out I'm working a pole.
Right.
Yeah,
but then you know you tell mom and mom has to get over it, and like these things are dealt with,
and then mom comes on down to the thing and finds out she can lift her own body weight, and now she's in better shape. See, the circle becomes complete.
I actually 2 or 3 years ago I did a pole class at Christmas for my family.
Right.
I rented the studio for an hour and taught them. I had like my guy cousins on the pole, my grandma on the pole. It was awesome.
So it worked out, and what a way to get everybody used to the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm presuming here you never worked the other end of it as far as the club scene and
no,
and
you I didn't have not. But I actually was at V Live the other night for the first time, which is a strip club here.
There's a club called V Live.
There's a club called V Live.
I've never heard of this place.
I hadn't either, but I was told by the owner of the studio I work at that they were doing a competition. And, like, there's this part of me that starts itching that's like,
ooh, I can take these bitches down. yeah, I know.
It's in there.
as long as I can keep this on, I'm gonna take all of it down.
Yeah. But
you didn't do it, did you?
I did get on stage, but I didn't do the competition. You had to pay to be a part of it.
Oh,
and
of course.
It's like the sort of, yeah, when I, you know, of course, it didn't occur to me, but yeah, it makes sense. And yeah. I was like, not down for that, but they did let me get on stage for like 2 minutes, and so I got to work the pole at the club, which was fun.
Yeah, that is it's an interesting experience.
It was a life experience, exactly.
Yeah, years ago there was a series of shows that I had done in a club here, mm-hmm. and we were doing like live radio, and there was like a live band with that the girls were stripping to, and it was interesting. It's a very bizarre circus world.
Oh, it's a weird world. It's like super cutthroat, competitive. Oh, yeah. Lots of attitude. Yeah, it's a tough group for sure.
Now you're tying in also burlesque into this, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And there's a pretty sizable, at least a very healthy burlesque scene here in Memphis. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this is actually the first show that we're going to have a burlesque performer, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning I was more scared of how much sexy we could show. And the pole I felt like needed to be very buttoned up. And I think as I've been here longer, it's like Memphis is accepting of that stuff. You just, you know.
We have no problem with nudity, honey.
Yeah, there's no problem. It's more, I think, how you package it up and how you explain it, right? And, like, the story behind it. So I've gotten more comfortable with what I can do here. So we're adding burlesque.
Yeah.
And it's a friend of mine. Her stage name is Coco Rosé.
Uh-huh.
She's obsessed with glitter. I'm also obsessed with glitter. Uh-huh. So we became friends right off the bat. And, so that's a piece that I hope we can keep. Because there is, like you said, a good scene here.
It is. There's always, especially in the... It happens more in the spring and the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The burlesque shows will start popping up, mainly because it gets so hot here. But, you know, these girls just can't contain themselves.
Yes. It's really hard to get super naked when it's 20 degrees out.
Well, yes, of course. But tying in the stuff that you're doing into the burlesque scene, throw a band and a couple of comedians, by God, you got yourself a show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Bring out a dog, you know, with a monkey riding on him, and then you'll have a thing.
Some cats going through hoops.
Well, hell yeah, mm-hmm. you know. Because there was also a very, very short-lived, there was sort of a rock and roll circus thing here.
Really?
Where the Blockheads would come out, and the Fire Eaters, and the see, you could bring all that back.
That's kind of the goal. It's like, I've heard stories of all these times when there used to be a lot more performing downtown at Trolley Night.
Yeah.
There used to be just a lot more of these kind of variety things happening. So I'm hoping we can kind of build that back to a healthier scene.
I think you're on the right track.
Thanks.
Definitely so. Online, bendybeast.com, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And on Facebook, you even deal with
Bendy Beast, yeah. Or you can find Paluminati. That's the name of the show.
All right. Which leads me into this. Paluminati. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. And this is, how many times have you put this show on?
This is going to be the fourth show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me about it. What's involved here?
So Paluminati started because I'd moved to Memphis. I was looking for places to perform pole, and it basically was a non-existent scene.
Yeah.
And a friend invited me to a show at the Rumba Room called Jukin' Wars, uh-huh. which is where the jukers kind of battle each other out and perform. And
it's
I
neat
loved
dance.
It
really
it's
is.
Amazing dance.
Yeah.
And it was just such a strong community. And the way the show was set up, the beginning was more of an informal, like, beginners could get in and jump in and show their stuff. And then the really advanced folks went at the end. And I was like, this is a cool vibe. I love this. I wonder if they'd let me do pole here. It didn't seem like something too impossible to set up. So I reached out to the owner of Rumba Room, Edgar, and I was still struggling to explain pole in Memphis. So I think I sent this very detailed email that was like, this is what I do. It's not inappropriate. And he just wrote back right away being like, yeah, I get it. It's cool. You should do it here.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. I totally understand. It doesn't involve mayonnaise or fire. I'm in it, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he was super supportive right off the bat, which was amazing. And the first show, I almost canceled because performers were canceling out on me. I wasn't hearing back from anyone. I was like, this is going to be a nightmare. This is the worst idea I've ever had.
These were all pole dancers, right? They were canceling on?
So it was a mix. So I wanted to do a pole show, but I couldn't find enough pole performers to run a pole show. So it became a variety show just out of necessity. So I had
ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
Right, which ended up probably being the best part about the show. So that just came from the first show because I was like, I don't know people. I'll take whoever wants to perform.
Can you juggle a cat? Yeah, let's do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you do it on the stage or in?
Yeah.
So we did the first show and it went great. I mean, it wasn't a huge turnout, but we maybe had 30 people there and everyone had so much fun. And so that's when it was like, okay, this could be a thing. And it was clear that the variety was the best part because it got some people from different communities that hadn't already been crossing over to cross over. So that became a real goal.
So this thing just now is because it was a variety show by accident. I guess it's sort of going to stay that way then. Huh?
Yeah, for sure. This next one, actually, I just had a few people drop out. So it's really mostly other things with like about 4 pole acts and 13 acts total. So it's become more about all kinds of other stuff. We've got belly.
You got 13 acts in this thing? Mm-hmm. That's a circus.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
That's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on. Yeah. And we're going to have Memphis Drum Tribe in the beginning, just jamming out. And we're going to have, like, open stage. So you can get on the poles. You can learn some moves. There's going to be hoopers. There's usually some acro yoga you can learn. So we have that open community vibe for the first hour and a half, where you can just have a drink and watch, or you can actually participate and learn some stuff.
Right.
And then, and that starts at 6, and the show itself starts at 7:30, and we've got 13 acts, a mix of all kinds of stuff. It really is a circus in the best way.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Now, and that's all on the website too, Poluminati.
Mm-hmm. Poluminati, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Illuminati with the word pole in front of it.
Yes.
I practiced that all night last night. I was sitting there laying in bed going, how do you pronounce this naked word? Poluminati.
Rumba Room is a really cool venue. I like it because it has a very big dance floor. You know, rumba, salsa, that's their specialty.
Sure.
But then there's tables that sort of line it. Uh-huh. So the audience is in three directions, and it's more of an interactive environment than just sitting back and staring at a stage in front of you. So it just becomes a really fun time. You're kind of part of the show. You can participate in the beginning if you like.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Is this one of those things that you would do, like, every quarter or so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it's been. It's been about every 3 months.
Yeah, and all the schedules and stuff are up, of course, on your website.
Yes, we have another show coming up for Valentine's Day, so that will be really
fun. I can imagine what that's going to be about.
Yes, that's definitely going to be on the sexy side. It's a pretty obvious theme.
Well, sure, with the burlesque thing that you're tied into now, there'll be more of those performances going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, see, I think you're onto something here, Liz. This is a good city for it.
Thanks. Yeah, no, people, once they sort of come out to see it, people have been super supportive. Like, this is actually a really fun night.
Yeah, especially over in the South Main area, you know. Mm-hmm. South Main, Cooper Young, you know, Midtown, you're fine. You get east of the Parkway and you get a little uptight out here.
Yeah. You can get away with it on South Main, though.
We should see some of the dirty looks that the staff of this radio station gets from the people that have businesses in this building or they're coming in to do something and we're all hanging around outstairs, you know, upstairs drinking a beer, having a cigarette, you know, like, oh look at these people.
You guys are the riffraff.
The riffraff, yeah. And of course, we're the furthest thing from it, so at least we try to be. But you know, what you're doing, though, is you're providing this really cool, different type of entertainment where it's not just a band or a singer-songwriter type thing. You're actually something to see and do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what people have said, you know, repeatedly, is that it's something different. And every time the performers do a different piece and... you know, they're personal. I don't give people a lot of criteria. I set a general theme.
Just don't suck, right?
Yeah, don't suck. Like, do something you're passionate about. And that seems to pretty much be enough.
Yeah, those are the words that we use here with the artists that go, just don't suck.
Yeah.
Don't break anything and don't suck.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for us, so it should be fine for you.
Yeah, it's been working.
Yeah.
Ground rules.
Now, are you going to, have you thought about taking some of these type of shows out onto the road?
Not so much, because I think, to me, at least in the moment, what I'm really excited about is finding the people in Memphis that are you know, talented, that have these skills and maybe aren't being shown as much as they could be. So
yeah, because I guess they don't feel like they have a place to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe eventually, but I think I still am really focused on kind of it being a Memphis show. And we have had a few out-of-towners, but it really is mostly local performers and working on building a scene here that hopefully feeds into all of our classes. A lot of the performers are instructors as well, and getting more students in and just getting more people to realize that this is a really fun thing to add to your life.
Yeah, well, as artistic and creative as this town is, performance art is one of those things that seems to just get left behind.
Yeah, it's not as big as you would think given how there's stages everywhere. There's a lot of opportunity for it.
But a lot of the venue owners would be a little reticent sometimes to have performance art because I guess they feel that it doesn't appeal to a broader crowd, you know?
Right. It's like a very chicken or the egg thing. And it's kind of like that with the classes, too. It's like there aren't so many people in the performing classes because they're not seeing the performances to aspire to.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah. Because that's what got me into it also was I got into it for fitness, but also I had seen like circus performers at parties, and I was like, that looks cool. I wonder if I could do that.
It looks fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, because you have no reference point.
Exactly. If you haven't seen it, then like it's not as exciting to go to class.
In a way, this is kind of like what the old vaudeville stuff was like, you know.
Yeah.
Because it was a variety show, and there's all sorts of weird stuff that was going on those stages, you know.
One thing that is a huge goal of mine, actually, is to that old vaudeville history, is to do a show on one of the Memphis boats on the river.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that just plays right into, you know, what used to happen in the city on the river. And
a lot of things happened on those boats.
A lot of things happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. And what's nice is you've got a contained audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, get out.
You're here.
You can go right on out. Yeah. That'd be fine. Mm-hmm. No, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to them. There's a boat that seems like it would work pretty well.
Really?
So it's a goal in the new year to get that, knock on wood.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
Yeah.
Oh God, you have to let me know when that happens.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, that'll be something I would want to. Yeah. I would want to see that. Yeah, because they built that port down there now, and they're getting boats in from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All up and down the river.
Yeah.
You could work an entertainment gig on one of these cruise boats.
It would be super cool. I went to, the Mud Island Museum?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was like talking about the old shows on these boats. And I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah. Why not? You know, it's
what's
old is new again. You
exactly.
know? And we're seeing a lot of the trends in people's, entertainment proclivities to go back into things that used to be, you know, used to be a thing, you know, like this, you know, radio. I run into so many people now that don't even have televisions.
Yeah, I actually do not have a television.
See what I mean?
Yeah,
you don't even have a TV.
Yeah,
I watch very little of it, but I do spend a lot of time on a laptop a tablet or my phone.
Yeah,
you know, but that's what it is.
But I think that's the thing is we're spending so much time on our screens that suddenly these opportunities to go back to things not on screens is a lot more appealing.
I think so, and that's why shows like what you're doing here with Illuminati is important because it might spark. You don't know who's going to be in that audience who goes, you know, I think I want to try this. I want to, you know, because having artistic expression is what really separates us as people, and finding a way to get that out is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as adults, like I think some of those options get limited, and realizing that this is stuff, you know, you can do. You don't have to be a total professional. Like our performers are good, but they're not doing this full time.
Right.
Like, it's just something you can still add to your life. Like the ship has not necessarily sailed. A lot of people are like, oh, it's too late. I'm too old, but it's not true.
No, that's not true. No, that's just age is a number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or it's not so much the years as it is the mileage.
Yes. True story.
That is so true. So there you go. It sounds like a grand old time. The open floor is at 6, and then 7:30 is the showtime.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it run?
Till 9.
It's a quick show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the early side, so you can go out and
see. That's something else, man. You're ringing it true here in this town. There's not any early shows here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed this?
Yeah, and I am like an old person in my head, so I don't want to be out that late.
You just said it had nothing to do with the years.
It doesn't have to do with the years. It's the mentality. I want to be in bed. I don't want to be at a show that starts at midnight.
You're not one of those people that get up really early and be all chipper and shit, are you?
No.
I didn't think so. No.
Don't worry.
Liz Kenmark, ladies and gentlemen, go find her online, bendybeast.com. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Come by anytime.
All right. Thanks so much.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Zeke Johnson here in the studio here on this illustrious, interesting evening.
Lee would have been, if we were sons, Lee would have been the big brother by far.
I see. Yeah.
And of course, for an every at one time, yeah, I heard him. There's one record they've got out, one CD with Furry and Lee called Take Your Time. And Furry calls him Lee Baker every time on that record, which is just astonishing because it was always Lee Bailey.
Yes.
When I was in rehab from my heart surgery, the Mississippi All-Stars, Luther and Cody, they put out a CD, and one of the songs on there was a tribute to Lee Baker.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Yeah, buddy. You know, it has been insanely cold here in Memphis and the midst, all over the place. And I love the climate change deniers are going, see, there's your proof right there that there's no such thing as climate change. It's too cold for it to be, you know, a warm, global warming just doesn't happen. Look, let me explain something real simple to you. Weather does not equal climate. You understand? Weather is the immediate. Climate is long term. Yeah, we're still heating up. You'll be lucky if we're still around before the midterm elections. You know what I mean? Not to ring the bell or anything, but God, how could you people be so fucking stupid? It's like the flat earth people. God damn it. Stop it with all of that. Really? That's enough. All right. Enough of that. All right. Hey, listen, how about some music here? I got some good garage music here. This is a great band. The band is called Low Life Leakers. And, these guys, have a pretty, pretty groovy sound to them. They are, quite frankly, a Midtown thing here. Jeremy Scott, Jason Pulley, J.D. Rieger, Chris Davis, Justice Natchez. I think Matthew Trusler is part of this. It's an act, and they're a lot of fun. I don't know where you can get their stuff. I do know that it's on the Makeshift collection of records, the current one that is out that benefits the Church Health Center. If you go to their website, you can find out more. Church Health Center, look for the Makeshift collection. I believe this is J.D. Rieger's last compilation record on this because he's moved out. He's moved on to Chicago, and good for him. I would like to think that they'll be able to keep this going. It's always a great collection of tunes. But nevertheless, we're going to play this one, though. This is a great tune. It's a lot of fun. It's Low Life Leakers. The song is called Liar Liar. And here it is from Radioland.
I'm walking wild. Say it's like
If you haven't figured it out by now, Low Life Leakers is a play on the Trump thing, where he had vowed to get the quote unquote low life leakers out of his cabinet or whatever he's, which he never did. Of course, everything he says is completely false.
Why do you hate America, brah?
I don't hate America. I hate what it's become. And with that, I will leave it alone. You've heard what's coming up next time, for sure. And we'll be rolling along, as we do, each and every stinking week right here from Radioland. I mean, with the exception, sometimes there's things that are out of my control that I can't quite make it happen. But it does. It's, you know, you just move along. You just keep it going. So in the meantime, though, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.